Brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our Good Friday service today. This is an important service in our life as a congregation. It's an important time as people all around the world gather and journey together back to the cross, back to the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for being here with us today, and we pray that you may hear and see and recognize God's love and grace and compassion for you and for the sake of the whole world. Let us begin. We join together in singing our opening hymn.
What wondrous love is this?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Merciful God, your Son was lifted up on the cross to draw all people to himself. Grant that we who have been born out of his wounded side may at all times find mercy in him. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's an emotional day of worship. Probably the most emotionally complex day in the life of the church. It is significant, and yet there is something about it that is so confusing. It is beautiful, and yet it is equally devastating. It is uncomfortable, and it is vulnerable. It is the end, and yet it is a beginning. And for thousands of years, the church has returned to this day in spite of and because of its complexity. Not because it's easy, certainly not because we fully understand just what happened on that day over 2,000 years ago, and certainly not because we know exactly what it means for us today, at least not fully what it means for us. But we return back to this day because it's always good. It is always good. And I say this because I know of no sermon or commentary or study or theologian who has ever adequately been able to crack down to the full depths of what this day really means. And so I'm not going to pretend to be the first. But every time we come to this day, we hope and we pray for ears to hear it, for eyes to see, for hearts to be broken and mended and healed again, for our lives to be transformed by the power of this day. Because the truth is, we come here time and time again, year after year, because it changes us. Every time we experience it, it leaves us changed by its power and by its love. And maybe this is one of those days where doctrine and theological understanding and all of the things that we're convinced are so central to our faith, maybe this is the day where we kind of set those things aside just for a bit. Not because good theology doesn't matter, but because sometimes we need to be challenged to move beyond the way we think things should be. And we need to simply experience it for what it is. We need to simply be. We need to come and stand in the presence of God through Jesus Christ. Which is why I want to invite you back. Back to the day with all of its complexity and varying emotions, back to the day when it all seemed like sin and death had won, only to learn that it was actually sin and death that were dying, not us. I want to invite you back to the day when the hopes of thousands of generations were finally realized, when the promises of God had finally begun to be fulfilled. I want to invite you back to the day when the love of God was poured out for the whole world. Because That's what this day really is all about. It really is all about love, real love, hard love, the kind of love that we long for, the love that aches in the depths of our souls, the kind of love that leaves you feeling exposed, and yet because it's love, we don't really care about all the vulnerabilities. Because it's the kind of love that sees you for who you are. It's the love that says you don't need to hide any longer. You don't need to pretend. It's the love that frees us to be us, to be who God made us to be, that frees us from guilt and shame. It doesn't heap it on. That's not what this day is about. It's about the incomprehensible, the patient, the resilient, the persistent love of God. And so we tell this story. We remember this day through words, through song, through visual images. All of it meant to bring us back, to invite us in to this time and this place, and to see how God shows up, and how love does win. Today we remember that grace is sufficient, that God is faithful, that life matters, your life, mine, the life of the world. We remember on this day that love is greater than all. We remember that the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Spirit will hold us and keep us now and forever. So, welcome, my friends in Christ. Today is Good Friday. Amen. As we prepare for our journey to the cross, let us take this time during our offering to prepare our hearts and minds to remember the incredible gift of love that God has given to each one of us, and to take time to reflect and to think about how we are called into this changed and transformed life to show love and to be love to others. Let us take this time. the whole people of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray for the church, for the world, and for all who are in need. Holy and gracious God, you have come to live and dwell among us, taking on flesh and becoming human for our sake and for the sake of this world. As we journey again to your passion, help us remember and hold on to the promise of your unfailing love in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the healing of the nations and for all who call this place home, may the violence and hatred and divisions that exist today be brought to an end. May hearts and minds be transformed by the power of your love, that we may look upon one another as your beloved children, all in need of your mercy, all recipients of your grace. May your kingdom come, O God, and may we be a part of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are longing for hope and renewal, for those who are suffering under the weight of despair and complacency, that your Spirit may encourage and stir up new life and strength. Let your light shine within the shadows of our lives and lead us to the new day that you have promised. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who are suffering and sick and injured this day, for those whom we hold in our hearts and minds, for those in this community of faith who long for healing, make your presence known to them. Help them to see and trust that you are always with them and that you have promised them a future filled with hope and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Draw us near to you, O God, that through your cross we may see and hear and know the depths of your love for us. May we open our lives up to you in this time, trusting in your promise of forgiveness, the promise of hope out of suffering, the promise that love is greater than hate, the promise that life is and will be born out of death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious Lord, we lift our prayers, trusting in your eternal goodness and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We continue our worship this evening with the seven last words of Christ from the cross. The first word, Luke 23, verse 34. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing.
Second word, Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
The third word from the cross, John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his home.
The fourth word, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
The fifth word, John 19, verses 28 and 29. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth.
Word. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Were you there?
The seventh word. Luke 23, verses 44 through 47. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." Now is the hour of darkness, the moment of silence and absence. Lord, we ask that you keep alive the flame of faith in us while we stand, watch, and await the light of a new dawn. Amen.